documents within a couple of minutes of extra work. But I wanted to see if it was something that the board was inclined to do.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of it, what they got. But yeah.
Okay, then.
Because it's a government, you know, I mean, a local people service, so I'm always on board with that. You know, we do a lot of work for the people of the township.
And folks don't necessarily know what their local government actually does.
Nope.
So, all right, so I would ask for that to be on the agenda for the next meeting for a adoption of a resolution. And I will try to send a link so that you guys can look at the rest of the activities that they've got. EIT discussion is the next item on the agenda, and this.
I would say table that, because that was, Gary brought that up, and I'd like to see what he has to say about it before we even discuss it.
Was that a motion, Bob?
I make that a motion.
All right, I second that. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Meeting room request for Hickory Hills for April 24th at 5:30 p.m. Make a motion that we allow Hickory Hills to use the meeting room at that date and time under the usual conditions.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So last item on our agenda before public participation is contacting federal legislators about the status and future of federal properties in our area. This is something that we talked briefly about at the end of the last meeting. But back before you were on the board, we had taken action to send all of our federal legislators letters, and we talked about this last time, so I'm sure you remember, inquiring about the status and particularly the No National Park Initiative because of the amount of lack of adequate maintenance and staffing for the federal properties in the area. At this point in time, we have gray towers where there's a lot of there's a lot of talk happening, but I haven't seen anything definitive to describe what is going to be happening with Gray Towers this year. But I have heard a number of people say that there have been staffing cuts. I would like us to send a letter to our federal legislators inquiring about whether the property is going to be open, if it's going to continue to be staffed and maintained, and inquiring about our concerns that we previously brought forward about the park in terms of road maintenance, garbage collection, you know, and other staffing and resource-oriented concerns, because we certainly will continue to get the visitors. And if we don't have things like trash collection, it's going to be bad for us.
And that's one of the biggest draws in historic sites that Milford has, Milford Township.
Yeah, I think Gray Towers is, yeah, the most one of the most important in the
pieces of property in the county. So I would agree with that, because I do know a lot of people that made the cuts. And they didn't have a lot of people to start with. So I would second that motion.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Public participation. Kevin?
I have a couple of things. There was a mention of a zoning violation. I was wondering where that was and who that involved.
No.
UGI sent a notice, and it was
it's a utility equipment in a townhouse that is improperly installed, and they red tagged it.
Oh, all right. Well, that's not it.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Do you agree with Joe's assessment on that?
Yeah, that they're not. We need a property maintenance code for them to enforce that.
Well, yes and no.
No.
I was going to say
UGI
that
is not going to turn it back on until.
Exactly.
Until it's fixed.
Yeah.
So,
we've had it in the past.
Yeah.
Take that back.
My other concern is in reference to the Planning Commission. and the applications that we have before us. I was not aware that AutoZone was going to come back into us until our last meeting when Mr. DePetris was here inquiring as to whether they would be here or not. He was certain that they would be. Given that information, I was a little concerned with his approach in the fact that he's convinced that a curative amendment is what's going to resolve this issue. Being that we have two applications that are basically asking for the same type of use, I would ask the supervisors to engage Mr. Belwar for the AutoZone property as well. Because whatever, whether there's a curative amendment or there isn't, or whatever is going to affect both properties and all the properties in the township in the future. I would like him and Mr. Magnotta to both give the Planning Commission and the supervisors, if they'd like to do that, a real update on curative amendments, how they work, when they have to be applied, when it was the... I admit I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but we have a situation where there's enough land to develop these properties in accordance with the ordinance the way we already have it. With me?
You mean it's subdivided?
If subdivided, or if laid out so that it could be subdivided later so that we don't create non-conforming lots. I mean, there's obvious answers here that are remedies through the ordinance. I'm not a lawyer and I don't want to get involved in trying to be one. That's not where I'm coming from at all.
But you did see one on TV, right?
Oh, boy.
So,
the Lincoln lawyer.
I would encourage you to, if the zoning officer does have, and I understand the zoning officer does have this application, is that correct?
The AutoZone?
Yes.
I didn't see it. It didn't come to the office.
Sean told me that he has it, yes.
Okay, and when
and
do they plan?
Tony actually confirmed that that Sean has the AutoZone application.
That's my understanding.
And when does that come to the Planning Commission?
Sean is in his...
I mean, we have a meeting already next week.
And my understanding is that it's Sean's intent to adjudicate the application so that if it's appropriate, it could be forwarded to the Planning Commission before that meeting. However, it may be the same, similar letter as DEPG received, depending on what he finds in his review. So I'm not certain that he was not complete with his review at that point in time. And that's one of the reasons that we did an April 1st with Dwayne, because we want to make sure we give him the opportunity to finish that. We don't want to give Dwayne a very short period of time when he's completely unfamiliar with our ordinance to be able to try to do that review.
I know that they submitted an application. Whether he's reviewed it or not, I don't know.
Now, do we have...
All the more reason to have Mr. Belwar and Mr. Magnotta give us a good lesson on how the procedure. This is getting to be.
One update, Kevin, that was mentioned during the workshop was that a curative amendment has been received this afternoon.
Yeah, 2:00 this afternoon. There was a proposed curative amendment, a draft, sent to Mr. Belwar and to myself and to the township.
And so we asked to ensure that Shahana let Mr. Belwar know that we would request that he participate in the planning commission meeting, and that it is our expectation that both applicants will be present for that, although AutoZone, I suppose it depends on whether or not Sean has completed his review, but the curative amendment coming up.
DEPG will be present, I'm sure of that.
Didn't we enact 7 to 10 days prior to the meeting that we should have all the paperwork?
7 to 10 days, you mean in the ordinance, in the zoning ordinance? I don't know
before it goes to the planning board.
I don't think in the zoning ordinance that an amendment was made to.
It's not in the zoning.
To that, that's come up.
The saldo.
Saldo is where it is?
Saldo actually has a 10-day.
10-day. I wanted 7 to 10 days prior to the meeting, so we had time to review it.
Well, we're not gonna get that with this. That's the whole, that, this is my.
This is my point.
This is my whole point with this procedural stuff. This is.
Well, the curative amendment should be, if it's gonna be on the agenda for the planning commission meeting, if you even think it's gonna be on the agenda for the planning commission meeting, or Andy thinks it's going to be, which I presume the applicant expects, and will force by public participation if it's not on the agenda, then it must be sent to all planning board members probably tomorrow, since we got it today.
Is there a reason to entertain a curative amendment?
The ordinance doesn't provide for multiple commercial uses.
Buildings.
On the same property.
Multiple
without subdividing the property, or without contemplating the subdivision.
Huh?
You were talking about the ordinance would allow it to be, if someone comes in for a cluster development on a residential development, the ordinance allows it, but not for a commercial.
Okay.
And that's what I have not read the amendment, because as I said, I just got it this afternoon.
So they're trying to say that this use is not provided.
Correct.
And that's why they're giving a curative amendment. But also, I think that the process should be looked at in terms of the fact that I heard you say the use, but in my mind, we need to take care that it is not the use.
The uses,
because there are multiple uses happening, and so we need to how do those uses get handled and processed?
But when you have appropriate land to do what you want to do, no matter how you word it, why do you need a curative amendment just because that's what they want?
Well, I my belief is that they want to do a cluster type development commercially. They don't want to have a 5 acre here and a 5 acre there and a 5 acre there.
But if we don't provide for that in our ordinance, why do we need to? There's other ordinances in the area that don't provide for that.
It's my understanding that there are in some very commercially developed places.
Right. And I think because you have the rest of this land on 209, that it's something to at least look at.
Well, it may be where, it may be a mix of both could help us, because if we are contemplating, let's say we're contemplating it in exactly the manner you're talking about, Kevin, where we're looking at the project that it must be handled in a way that meets the saldo so it has the potential to be subdivided at some future point in time, we still have to recognize that it is multiple uses, that multiple uses can be permitted if they follow those rules that would allow them to be potentially subdividable. My understanding is that the zoning officer right now would say, this isn't in the ordinance, so I can't do anything with it. And I imagine Dwayne is going to have the same opinion. So now I don't know, I don't know how to handle it.
The ball's in our court again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, the ball is in our court, I would say.
So all the more reason that
I don't know that we would accept what's being handed to us. That's a whole different matter.
I don't expect that you would, and I don't, but...
there needs to be a discussion.
I think the more heads involved, and I just think that there's people that are convinced that what they're planning to do is the way it's going to happen. I don't think that we need to. I'm trying to come in this with an open mind, and I don't see it.
Yeah, I view AutoZone differently than this project, because that's already existing non-conforming.
The restaurant.
And they've given a different approach.
Yeah.
They've given a different approach, but that doesn't mean that they're not being used.
Right.
So, I would encourage you to ask Mr. Belwar to be at the next meeting and to give some...
I think...
Indeed, we did.
We think we already did.
If we could have both attorneys there and do that. I will not be available for that meeting. I won't be in town.
Yeah, and I'll be Zooming in, so I'm sure Mr. Belwar will, too.
Shauna, please double-check with Kevin absent and Bob typically not. Are you going to engage in the curative amendment?
That I can.
As planning board member?
Yeah, that I can. I don't see where that's a conflict of interest, because it's an ordinance. I can't say anything about the rest of it.
Okay, we'll try to double check that we're going to have a quorum before we have
two attorneys.
A lot of people, and we might, and perhaps, because you're kind of the anchor there, Kevin, in my mind, that Bob too.
Well, we need to have. I think we need to see what's on everybody's brain, and then we need a joint meeting.
Yep.
Yep.
We need to put
Tuesday, however, will not be
the joint meeting.
No.
Well. Part of their, that's the other concern of mine. Part of their reasoning for having a joint meeting is to get the decisions in the procedural order they want them. So we need to be careful about that as well.
Tony, is there a legal time frame on a curative amendment?
This is a municipal, they're proposing this as a landowner curative amendment. Since there is no time frame, because the correspondence indicates that it's a draft only and they want to discuss it. So there's no time frame set for this. They just want a discussion as to whether this is something that the township would be willing to take a look at and possibly consider.
There's a lot more.
I don't feel like you answered my question.
There's no time frame.
On any curative amendment?
There is on some.
Okay, yes. So what would it be if there was...
60-day hearing.
Okay, so what I would request then, what I'm making a motion, is that you send a confirming letter back indicating that, as this is a draft,
me to send it or Mr. Belwar?
I would like you to send that letter and copy Mr. Belwar, and ensure that Mr. Belwar in that letter, that we contemplate that he'll be participating in each planning board meeting while this is being discussed.
When you get a curative amendment presented, you can reword that
any way you want.
Any way you want.
And you can also decline it.
You can also decline it if it's discretionary.
If it's discretionary.
If it's discretionary.
What do you mean by that?
That is the landowner saying, hey, your ordinance doesn't have this. We think it should. So we're challenging your ordinance. And if you don't agree with it, you don't have to issue a curative amendment. There are other ways that you can cure it.
You can put forward your own.
Correct.
And what time frame would you be required to do that in?
You would have to do that within the 60-day hearing period.
Within 60 days.
Unless
the applicant was agreeable.
Correct.
What if he officially turned it down?
They would have a right to appeal.
then you, the validity of the clock starts running again.
They would appeal to the zoning hearing?
Yes.
No.
No.
That would go directly to the court.
To the courts.
So there's the boogie here.
Yeah.
No.
So your choice is amend it to something within a 60-day time frame that you can live with.
Right. Or
replace it with something you can live with within a 60-day time frame.
Or to get them to grant an extension and we review it and come back with an alternative.
Right.
And if the applicant is trying to be agreeable and functioning the way most of our applicants do, they would grant extensions. In this case, they've presented a draft, and I have made a motion, put it on the floor for you to send a confirming letter.
They didn't say draft.
The draft does not start the clock ticking, is not intended to do so.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Got a second?
Is that a second?
Yep.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Anyone else?
Other public participation.
Where was the zoning, AutoZone, where is that?
The proposal, I believe,
right
is
next door.
On the other side of Dollar General.
Oh.
Right next door.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, two quick questions. You mentioned on the last item, on new business I, about, you know, garbage and road maintenance from National Park Service, I guess related to Gray Towers. Is that correct, specifically Gray Towers, or is that a general question for the region?
General question for the region.
It's general
Gray
question
Towers
for,
beyond.
Yeah, well, the Delaware Water Gap National Recreation Area, as well as Gray Towers. And the importance of both federal assets to our local economy.
If I may interject, two things. One is that I haven't gotten the answer to them. I asked them. I noticed they had crews, which I thought was interesting, in the morning when I come out here from Bushkill. And they had crews on 209, and they were doing evaluations by those traffic lights, which we all know, you know, the hold up on that because of problems with the land there, and it looked like they were making evaluations, but I know they had said previously in a meeting, National Park Service had commented during a road task force meeting that they had planned to have that situation resolved, the traffic lights removed by sometime in 2026. But I was just wondering, out of my own curiosity and maybe readers' curiosity, why these people. There were a lot of people. I'm talking maybe a dozen vehicles out there, and maybe 10 to 20, probably closer to 20 people just around and looking, milling around there, looking like they were making assessments. So, meaning to me, it appeared to me, but I wanted them to tell me that they're going to do something about that situation, that's all. What, I don't know. But they had a lot of people there. You know, surprisingly, it wasn't just a few.
Probably getting ready to close.
Did that come up at the? don't say that, Tony.
I'm hoping it does on this Thursday when they have their meeting.
The road task force.
Yeah, that was at the 2026 timeline was brought up at may have been the last meeting or the meeting before, and they didn't go to the last meeting, but the last meeting they attended is when they brought that up. They said they were going to have those two traffic lights removed sometime in 2026. There were two representatives there from the National Park Service saying that. So, but I just wondered, because I know you're talking about Gray Towers, whether it was limited to Gray Towers or, as you clarified, the entire area, as far as that goes. You know.
The federal land.
Now, Gray Towers is of importance to us because it's right. The biggest thing we have in the township.
I understand.
Absolutely. We also have NPS-owned land.
Yep.
Right back here.
Yep.
So
nice.
They're not actively necessarily using that land or making people aware of the availability to use that land, but I think we have a lot of activity with
I think they have
that. And emergency services also. If they're not going to have lifeguards at the beach and they're not going to have guards at the beach and our guys are going to get called out, you know, we already have them called out for lots of calls for hikers who are lost or have a twisted ankle or, you know, Westfall, I guess, is usually the one called out when they can't find someone on the river, among others. But there are demands on services that fall to the local community. And if we are going to continue to attract tourists to use those amenities, they need to be maintained properly. When the bathrooms are trashed or not open, and the trash cans are overflowing and there's trash everywhere, and there is no one actually monitoring campsites or monitoring other areas to ensure people aren't camping in places they're not supposed to be, or lighting fires or hunting where they're not supposed to be or out of season, right? There's lots of issues that we depend on the park's budget to maintain to ensure that their facilities are kept in a state that allows more tourists to experience the Poconos in a good way, right? If you experience our community in a good way. We want to make sure that continues. And we certainly want to know what the plan is.
You know, I would hope that, I mean, they made road improvements south of the 739, but I'll tell you, when you get to that stretch from the Route 739 traffic light to Milford on 209 is, it's getting progressively worse.
Really indeed it is.
I mean, to the point where I'm considering as a commuter going through that area regularly of taking, even though it might be a few minutes longer, just take Milford Road all the way out and get off at the lumberyard there and then just work my way around because, you know, I'm concerned about my car. You know, it's gotten to that point now.
Well, I think we're all...
Back when they tarred and chipped that, they used two different kinds. Our side was one kind. Down below where the tar and chip is was another kind. The kind down below held up a hell of a lot better than the one up here.
Yeah.
And but they had no recourse when they were... What to do if one fell apart and they just left it falling apart. And that's where we're at.
The only thing I heard from friends of Dua, it was their understanding from some people I know who were involved with them, that there were five members of the NPS as part of that whole downsizing of departments, that they had five people laid off. But I couldn't get a qualified answer from the National Park Service on that.
Well, that's why I want to get an answer
five
from our federal legislators.
Five people laid off here is a big amount.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have enough to fill it the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, and they... These people in conversations felt the same way from the friends who do it. They were saying the same thing. They don't have people to spare to have something like that done.
There's a lot of times nobody's on because they didn't have enough people to cover all the shifts.
They don't have a history of great maintenance.
No.
I have one closing question on the zoning map update. I know it's been discussed before. I understand that. But with this housing development that you've been talking about, is Hickory Hills, is this really the biggest issue holding up the map? Is that what that...
The biggest issue is the 95 properties being posted. So the map can be adopted two ways. It can be adopted as a new zoning map, and we've had somewhat two different... various different opinions at various points in time about whether this map would qualify to be adopted that way or not. And it can be adopted by posting all of the properties that would be theoretically changed in their zoning. And that interpretation by the county is changed in their zoning from the previous map.
Correct.
As opposed to changed in their zoning just... You know, since a number of these properties have already had their zoning updated and they were posted presumably before those changes were made. So we're trying to come to a resolution of what is the most efficient way to adopt an accurate map that reflects the zoning on a GIS basis as opposed to a hand-colored basis.
The absolute most efficient way is going to be to, if we all agree on this map, we have to post all the properties that are being changed.
That's it.
Because if we just do a general hearing and say we're updating the map, you can have people come back to fight it later on.
Mm-hmm. On
procedural grounds.
Yeah.
Is this property that they're on, though, was this zoned commercial at any
yes.
time?
Yes.
It was zoned commercial originally.
Originally.
And then when the development went in, it was changed to residential.
Because it's a residential development.
Yeah. What was the change on the map? That's my question.
The map wasn't updated on a GIS basis. There was a hand-colored map.
There was the tax map that showed it as changed to residential.
It's underneath.
But then the coloring
right.
was wrong at the...
Underneath the floodplain map.
Yeah. Right, the hand-colored map
okay.
there.
I understand.
And that's not a GIS-based map, that particular
that's the
one.
Tax
there
map.
Was... a GIS map that wasn't colored.
Yeah, but they didn't put all the letters on it like it had.
You're right.
Because if you look at the 91 map, it's colored in red with a D, but if you look under the D, it says R. Because that was the confusion with those two properties, which we did prove, by the way.
So we're
generally, when a residential development goes into a commercial area, it gets changed to residential. The only one that didn't do that was the Martin development. They insisted on staying commercial, which
correct.
They did.
But Hickory Hills is now known, regarded as residential.
It is.
The map
over
sure.
the years.
It's full of nothing but homes.
Nothing
and it has deed restrictions, presumably, that flow throughout the entire development. Yeah.
Well, over the years, it's always been treated as a residential development. It met all the residential requirements.
It was subdivided.
It was the way it was subdivided. I was zoning officer for many years, and anything that went on in there was by residential because the map I had said it was residential.
It's a bizarre situation.
Yeah, I'm looking
at a bizarre situation going on in Delaware, I think, with the property next to the Weiss Market, Delaware Plaza on Route 739, that was a pizza parlor, and Debbie Fisher took that over and wants to make it a two-office complex, but it's, from what Tom Fawley tells me, it's been established as a residential property. Even though it was converted to a pizza parlor, it's still residential, considered on paper, quote unquote, residential property. And now that she wants to have two different, I don't call them businesses, two different offices there, it changes everything. And now they have to go through all this process of changing it and making it a commercial.
They have to go through an amendment to the zoning.
That's been an issue with all the boroughs for many years, because I was zoning and sewage in both. And we started at one point to send out a letter for multifamily commercial properties to actually register. And on the tax books, I can tell you, just in residential, two families, we had two in Matamoros on the tax books. After we sent out the document, we got back 269 of them. And then Milford Borough, I did the same thing. I sent out the letter to register, and it was kind of an agreement that we wouldn't go after them for any back taxes and stuff as long as they registered now. And I did an investigation. It wasn't you just got it. I had to find out how long it's been in existence. And some of these went back to the 70s. Milford Borough thought they had maybe 15 of them. When I left, Sean told me he was up to 169.
Oh, it was over 200 when I left.
You know, so these are two family properties, all these years being built as single family.
Correct.
Tax-wise.
It was over 200 when I left.
Was it over 200?
Wow.
And neither one followed through with it, though. Matamoros or Milford. Neither followed through with the registrations. So if you look at the tax books, there's a lot of commercial properties still say residential, and there's a lot of two-family properties still say single family.
Yeah. That they do.
I have a question. Could you briefly and easily to understand explain what exactly AutoZone wants to do?
They want to build an AutoZone.
They want to put an AutoZone.
But they're not putting another business with it.
Yeah, there's
There's an existing...
right.
There's an existing restaurant on the property.
Which I don't believe is open.
No, they're going to tear it down.
Okay.
If AutoZone goes in, that's going to be close to that. So they're going to tear that down. And the anticipation is another building for the back of the property.
There's a house in the back of the property.
Yeah, there's a converted garage in the back.
It's a house.
It's a house.
I know they have a constitutional right, but does this area need another one? I know they have the right to buy.
The question was asked of AutoZone, and they said their statistics prove that this is a good spot for one.
Okay.
Well, I imagine that there's a number of auto garages in this end compared to where their current location is.
I felt they could better serve like Dingman's and stuff from here.
Sure.
And I'm assuming the one in Matamoros probably gets a lot of New York people over to it too.
I would imagine they do, yes.
Well, Sean, we have a question about, is there any more public comment? No, okay.
I'd ask that question.
A question.
Go ahead.
We have a question about one of the items on the credit card bill.
I didn't do it.
Notwithstanding that, I would make a motion that we pay the bills, but I do want to get an answer to that question about adjourn.
Is that a second, Bob?
Tony wants to know if he can leave.
Can't leave you. We might need a legal opinion here.
Okay. On a credit card bill?
I don't think so.
What is that?
Website.
What do you mean?
$199. Okay, I actually didn't make this check, so I'll confirm. I'll send an email to all of you.
Well, it's not a check. It's a charge, right?
You have a bill for it?
All the receipts are attached in there.
Okay.
Look for one for $199.
Men's room. Thank you.
I'm curious as to what it is.
Interesting.
I did make a motion.
Bill, was it?
Pay the bills and adjourn.
Oh, that's why I held you off. I didn't second it. All right, I'll second it.